I'll just use that as a segue to go into the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we talked about it last week, and I wanted to give a more full measure this week because I was just touching on it last week. But I do want to look at the gifts of the Spirit because each of us has gifts of the Spirit, okay? They're to be used by God for the purpose of others. And so we're going to talk about that because what you've been given is a deposit. What you've been given is something that is to be used to go out, to get outside of you. And that's what God has called us to do. So I'm going to touch on the gifts of the Spirit, and by no means am I going to be exhaustive today in the gifts. There's no way on one sermon to be exhaustive on the gifts of the Spirit. There's just too much to cover. So I'm going to touch on some things today that I think will be important for us because we want to be a church that does operate in the gifts. I've heard that. I mean, there's just, you know, the heart is there. We want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So I'll just open up with 1 Corinthians. We have 1 Corinthians 12. I think we have it queued, almost. But Paul deals with gifts, okay? And of course, there's more than just this passage. We have a Romans passage. We can look at Peter, you know. But so we're not going to look at all the passages on gifts. So we're just going to look at one main passage on gifts today, the 1 Corinthians passage where Paul deals with the Corinthian church. And of course, now that's a gift for the whole church on the gifts. Okay, it says this, it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, okay? To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He, Spirit, distributes them to each one just as He determines. So again, today, we're not going to be exhaustive on the gifts. There's 9 mentioned here. This is not exhaustive of all the gifts that the Bible speaks about. But in looking at this, there's some things that clearly do come out of this passage that Paul wants us to understand very clearly. One, I don't know how many often he mentions the Spirit, but I didn't count through that passage. But I have to admit, he probably did it 10 or more times in that one passage. I'm not saying go count now, but you could probably just hear it over and over and over again. By the one Spirit, the gifts are given. This gift, that gift, all 9 gifts, by the one Spirit. And given, distributing, as the Spirit sees fit in the body of Christ. So that not everybody has all the gifts, but we each have at least one gift of the Spirit. We want to talk about that. Because there's some things I want to look at in getting the bigger picture of the gifts and hitting on some examples, even though we may not hit on examples for every gift, okay? First of all, and this is just reiterating what I talked about last week, was everybody in the body has been given a gift. Everybody. If you've received the Holy Spirit, if you've received the Spirit of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and received the Spirit of God, the Spirit comes with gifts or gift. The Spirit gives gifts. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7 back that the Spirit does so for the common good. Okay, so this is first point, very critical, that this gift is for the common good. So the gift is given to you, but it's not for you. Right? Does that ever happen on Christmas? The gift is given to you, but it's not for you. Right? But that's, in essence, that's what this gift is. It's given to you. Now, it will bless your life. Yes, it can be a very big blessing in your life, but it's really not for you. It's for others. It's for others in what God wants to do in that gift through you. It's for the common good. So we are called, and if anything, the gifts call us to a mindset of serving. And that's so critical, because the mindset here is that as the Spirit gives, it's for us to give. And this is important, because now I've been given something that I'm to steward. I've been given something that I need to grow, to work with, and it's going to be for the benefit of others. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose for me to develop in my gifting. There's a purpose for me to become more excellent in my gifting, right? In your gifting. We know that as we grow in our gift, others will take notice. And sometimes that's encouraging to us when others do take notice. So take notice of when you see a gift in somebody and say, hey, I see this gift in you. I see it in you. Because it's encouraging to know that somebody sees the operation of a gifting in us. That's encouraging. But the right focus for us will not be, again, about us. It will be about becoming a servant of the Lord. And that will growing in our gifting will bring us into greater servanthood. And I think that's one of the key things behind gifts. One of the very key things is that with spiritual gifts, it's very important to talk about the servant's heart, okay? I think this is key. Because really, without the servant's heart, you've got to marry those things together. You've got to marry the gifts of the Spirit with the servant's heart. And those things need to come hand in hand. They need to go together. Because this is where the gifts coming into the body really bring unity. Because if I use my gift to serve you, you use your gift to serve me, we use our gifts to serve each other, we're going to help bring unity in the body of Christ. Because we are, so to speak, washing each other's feet. And this is going to bring a blessing in the body of Christ as we do these things and bless each other. So there's unity in the church where the gifts are being used with servant hearts. You know, it has been the case in church, the life of the church, where gifts have become something that's self-centered. And that can happen. It does happen. It happens in the church where gifts become a self-centered type of thing, where it's almost like looking at the gift as, this is for me, about me. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the scriptures say. And it's not good for the unity of the church when we take hold of a gift and say, this is for me and it's about me. It's about me looking good. It's about me being put on a platform. It's about me this and that and the other. But that's not good. I remember one time I was actually preaching in Brazil several years ago. And I believe I was speaking about covenant, because I know when we were there and I was mainly speaking about covenant with God. And that was my main talk. But in the middle of that sermon, I felt the Lord kind of wanted me to get away from that. And that happens from time to time. And I started speaking into the gifts because I felt like the Spirit wanted to address that in some way or another. I didn't know who, I didn't know how, I just knew I needed to address it. And then I called it out. I said, you know, there are gifts in the body of Christ. People have different gifts, varying gifts. And I said, but some of you have taken it on upon yourself to elevate your gift above other people. And you see yourself as a more lofty, better Christian because your gift seems to be you to be more special. It's more outward. It's more impressive. It's more in the limelight, so to speak. And because you operate in that gift, you now think you have greater authority than what's really been given to you by Christ, by the Spirit of God. He didn't give you greater authority in the body of Christ to all of a sudden you should be the one in control of things, right? But he gave you a gift to serve, not to make you more exalted in your own eyes. So I spoke that in the church. And then I went back to my sermon after I gave a little word to that effect. And I thought it was really interesting that the Lord had that, but I just knew that was the Spirit of God wanting that to be spoken. And it was so interesting that after the service, we sat down and we had just, you know, kind of like a cafe de tarji and with the pastors and, you know, just a fellowship time. And he looked at me and said, I don't know if you know, but you spoke exactly to one of the issues we're going through right now in our church. Because what was happening in the church where there were people who had this lofty idea of themselves and their giftings, that they felt they were more highly exalted, and they should have more authority in the church, they should have more say in the church, and that they were more special. And what it was creating disunity. It was creating disunity in the church because people were thinking, look at me, look at my gifts. And it was, look at me, look at me. But the gifts are supposed to be, you know, give praise to God for the gift he's given me to bless you, or the gift he's given you to bless somebody else. We give glory to God. In the right context, the gifts will bring unity. In the wrong context, it will bring disunity. So we have to make sure we always go back to the servant's heart. What are we doing with the gifts to begin with? I think that's key, first and foremost. We must have pure hearts, servants' hearts, and we don't want to make it about ourselves. This also is not good for the person who does that because it leads to spiritual pride, and spiritual pride comes before the fall. And generally, sometimes somebody who goes that direction in spiritual pride, there's a place and time where they fall, and they usually fall quite badly. You know, then there's going to be some broken pieces there to put back together. Some people like that, they fall and they don't come back to church. There's different things that happen with people, but spiritual pride will lead to a fall. And we want to turn people away from that at all costs. It's like, don't do that. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about what God wants to do in the body of Christ as he gives his gifts in the body of Christ. So one of the best ways is for us to have the attitude of Christ Jesus. I'm just going to read this. We've read this before out of Philippians 2. I'm just going to read this. The attitude of Christ Jesus, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. So if we want to know how to use gifts in the body of Christ, we look at Christ's attitude. We look at what he took on, the attitude of a servant, not thinking more highly of himself, not using things for his advantage. And so we don't use the gifts for our advantage to become more well-known or more famous, or sometimes we've seen that in the body of Christ. We don't want to do that. We want to take the very nature of a servant as Christ showed us how to do in the mindset that he had. So we're called to be servants of God, led by his Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. Now this brings us to the second point, and it's simply that the gifts of the Spirit are not merit badges, okay? You didn't go to Holy Spirit Cub Scouts and earn a merit badge, okay? You're not an Eagle Jesus Scout, all right? You don't earn them. God doesn't say, well, I now see that you're a better Christian, I will give you a gift. We don't earn them. And they don't represent how much God loves you. See, God loves you, with or without the gifts. God loves you. And it doesn't show his love more for you that you got a gift that you might think is specifically special. Like, of those lists of gifts, you might think one is very special. Well, God, if you really love me, right? But maybe you don't love me because I don't have that gift, right? That's not, God doesn't base his love on whether he gives certain gifts or not to us. They don't represent God's love for us. And they don't classify us as a superior Christian above others. Okay, if somebody sits up here and, you know, and gives out prophetic utterances to everybody here in the church, and they're right on, they're not a superior Christian. Now, they may be very well, they're very, very strong in their gift. They may have a very close walk with God. They would have a close walk with God, hearing the voice of the Lord and discerning the voice of the Lord. They would be very mature in their walk, mature in their faith, mature in their gift. But they're not, in God's eyes, they're not just a superior class of Christian. In fact, Paul would say he was called to a greater servanthood. Paul would say, I'm a greater servant. I've been called, the stripes on my back are for you. The suffering that I've partaken in is for you. And so really, if anything, the greater our gifting and the greater we walk out our gifting is a greater servanthood we're called to. We're called to a higher level of serving in the body of Christ. And we all can grow in that. So we have to be careful about equating our self-worth with our gifting. We have to be careful about that. And in fact, what's needed is that we grow in godly character. And that goes back, of course, to the pride thing. We want to make sure that as we grow in our gifting, we're growing in our godly character. And maybe first and foremost, we grow in our godly character preceding our growing in our gifting. Because we need godly character in our lives to give us good foundations and focus where we need to really be focused. Spiritually growing in our character, spiritual character growth is so important to the growth of our gift and the excellence in which we use it, okay? That's so key. If we look at King Saul, we remember back in King Saul in the Old Testament, we can look at King Saul's life and realize, hey, King Saul prophesied. He was out there among the school of prophets, going in the streets, prophesying out loud, so much so that the anointing of prophecy was on him, and people were saying about him that, hey, is Saul a prophet? Is he a prophet? Because the spirit of prophecy was on him, and he was prophesying. But that wasn't the life of Saul. I mean, yes, he did. He prophesied, and he had that prophetic. So it shows that. But what we know about Saul is that he had a lot of character issues, a lot of character problems. And he didn't continue in that pathway because God anointed him. God anointed Saul to be a king, and he was even anointed for prophecy. But his character led to his downfall. And we know that. We know that in Scripture. Because even in the end, instead of hearing from God and hearing the voice of God and walking with God, he was going after mediums and witches to try to hear hear a spiritual voice in his life. He had gotten so removed from God, his character had gone such downhill, and really because of his pride, he had fallen so far away from God that he was so desperate to hear something from God, he was grasping for anywhere he could find it. And that's a sad story of somebody who is, yes, gifted and anointed, but yet their character was so far from godly character. So we must emphasize, with spiritual gifts, we must emphasize the character, godly character, that we grow and operate in that way. Well, number three, the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. They're supernatural. It's a working of God in his church, and it's given by his Holy Spirit. We see it over and over, by the Holy Spirit, by the one Spirit, as the Spirit sees fit. See, the gifts are not natural, but they manifest God's working in the ecclesia. For instance, we can talk about the gift of wisdom, okay? There's natural wisdom. There's natural ways that you're going to understand things in the world, okay? People can tell you things. People can tell you things. For instance, if somebody tells me that your brother is sick and they want prayer, well, okay, that's natural knowledge. We'll go and we'll pray for your brother. Now, if your brother gets healed, that's supernatural, but the knowledge of it was not, okay? But if the Lord puts it on my heart that your brother is sick and that we need to stop and pray for that, that did not come to me by natural means. It came to me by the Spirit. And if the Spirit brings a point of knowledge to me, it means that God wants to do something. He wants to do something very specific. He wants to bring that healing. If he's bringing that to mind, he's bringing that forward. So the Lord does that. The Lord God does bring supernatural knowledge by the Spirit of God. Now we also talk about this with faith. Faith is not just hoping for something or wishing for something. It's really a spiritually rooted belief. It's a knowing that God is speaking. The Spirit of God that brings forth faith to believe. It brings it up to believe. Now, there's faith for salvation, to believe for salvation. There's that kind of faith. But there's also a supernatural faith to see miracles, to see healings, to see things that are beyond what is natural. David knew, I believe by faith, that God was going to slay Goliath. Because there's no way in the natural that he should ever go into battle against a man who's probably twice his height, outweighs him by far, and is very gifted in battle, a warrior, gifted in battle. There's no way that David should have done that in the natural. But he knew by faith that God was going to deliver Israel, and it was going to be by his hand that giant would fall. There's a spiritual nature of faith that's given by God that we can believe for things that are not natural, that are outside. I mean, you know, people can even say and think like, you know, you're crazy to believe for, but God has given it to you to believe for it. And yet people on the outside would think that you're off your rockers for believing God. Dutch Sheets had another story that he tells about a time where there was a girl, and I didn't know if it was in his community or in his church, but there was a girl that was a young girl in a coma in the hospital. And he went to pray for the girl. And it did not look very hopeful at all. He would not see change at the hospital, but he knew that even in leaving the hospital after praying for her, he knew that he was to come back, that God had called him. And it was by a spirit of faith that he was to pray for this young girl to see her healing come about, to take place. And so he did. So he prayed. Every week he went to the hospital. Every week he would sit by the girl, hold her hand and pray. She was in a coma, nothing, and didn't see anything. Didn't see anything. And he did this for a year. And the only way he did it was by faith, because he believed and he knew that God was going to heal this young girl. Until the day that she did get healed and a miracle took place and that girl got out of bed and went back to her normal life. But the only way he could have done that was by a spirit of faith. It's not natural. It's not natural to keep going back week after week, even when the hospital staff are like literally taking pity on you, that you're coming in and praying for this young girl every week with nothing happening. It's not natural to have that kind of faith. It is given by God to believe and to trust and to know that God is going, he has spoken, he's going to heal. So the spirit of faith is not just positive thinking. Now here's the thing, you know, we could have gifts. We could have gifts and not know that, or not be aware, or we can have gifts and we can deny them. For instance, we can be given a gift and you can never open the gift that God gave you. That would be neglect, right? It would be just neglect, not opening the gift that God has given you. Or never incorporating it in your life, never giving a way to incorporate that in your life in any way. Again, that would be neglect. And of course, I would say in the body of Christ, that is the case. Of course, there's some churches that don't preach the gifts, especially the charismatic gifts that the Holy Spirit has given. So they're almost led to believe that they don't exist or they're not in the church today. Some people are led to believe that theologically. But there's just others who don't realize that God has given them a gift. But it does take action on our part. It does take action to even pray, Lord, what gift have you given me? And sometimes you know the gift that God has given you because you've seen it active in your life, okay? You know. But there's some things that we have to get clarity from God. And there's some things that God needs us to step out on, even by faith, to believe. For instance, if you're given a prophetic word for somebody and you feel like God has given you something but you're not sure, it's going to require you to take a step of faith. It's going to require you to say, you know, I just feel I have something to share with you. You know, this is something, you know, and you don't have to make it a big deal. You don't have to make it a big production, but you have to take a step of faith. Because how will you ever know it was the voice of God, right, if you keep it to yourself? you always wonder, was that God? And you'll never experience. There's a point in time where you have to step out by faith and believe. Word of knowledge, a prophetic word, whatever it may be. Maybe even a word of wisdom. And that can happen too. You could be in a group. And the group is trying to think, you know, what shall we do? What shall we do? Maybe that's just a common question. What shall we do? And then you get something that comes to you. And you don't even know how it comes to you, but you've got an answer for that question. What shall we do? And it's a directive to what shall we do? And then everybody goes like, oh, that's amazing. That's exactly what we should do. How did you get that? Now, don't take claim, right? Because sometimes we don't. But sometimes we just hear things. Sometimes we get things even by the Spirit of God. And it comes. But we've got to share it. We've got to step out and believe. Says, well, Lord, I believe this is even from you. So there's a point for us to step out in our own walk with the Lord to share. And there's other things, too. When sometimes we think we have a gift, sometimes we might want to share that with others, especially some of the others that we know have that gift. Because if we know some people have that gift and they operate in that gift, they probably know something about that gift that would help us. If we think, I do hear from the Lord in this way. I do hear words of knowledge. I do hear words for other people that I feel like I'm supposed to share. Then find that person. There's people in this church that you could talk to and say, I want to know more about this gift and how you sense and experience this gift in your own life. But the gifts must be developed. It's like a seed sown into the ground. It's got to, over time, produce fruit, but it's got to grow. It's got to grow. And sometimes it's not easy, because sometimes that faith thing of stepping out is not easy. And it's probably good if it's a safe environment or doing it in a way that you can get feedback. That is helpful to know, was I hearing from the Lord? Like if you give a word to somebody, it's like, does that resonate with you in any way? I mean, sometimes it's just like at the time, I told somebody that the only word I had for them was Pop-Tart. And of course I thought I missed it. And of course we were in a setting where it was a very safe setting. It was a very safe setting because we were supposed to pray and see if the Lord would give us something for somebody else. That was the environment. And that's all I had. And then I was like, Lord, there's nothing spiritual about that. But then it did speak to the lady, because she said, oh, that must be my young son who's autistic. All he eats for breakfast is Pop-Tarts. And we've been praying so hard for him, and it's just burdened our hearts that he's not speaking. He's not, you know, he's 3 years old. He's not speaking. He's not doing some of the normal things that little boys normally do. We're praying and asking God for, you know, and it's like, but the Lord wanted to touch on that and says, you know, I'm in this situation. So you don't know how it even speaks to somebody else, but it's really good to get feedback, say, does that say anything to you? Because it said nothing. I didn't know on my end. I had no idea. I thought for sure that was just a goofy thing that came to my mind. We're called to develop. We're called to develop in our gifts. And sometimes that's just giving ourselves over to a place where we can do that. First of all, our spiritual maturity, we can mention that again. Our spiritual maturity is key. So growing in our own personal walk with God will help us grow in our gifts. Now, growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, knowing you're growing in your knowledge of God, your walk with God, that's going to help you grow in your gifts. So just everyday spiritual maturity and walking with the Lord. Hearing the Lord. Cultivating your ear to hear and sense His presence. This is key. This is critical. Because the more we are walking with Him and we hear Him and we sense His presence, the more we can say, okay, oh God, that's you. I know that's you, because I know I've felt that before. I've felt like, you know, on this word or on this, I feel your presence all over this. So we come to learn and experience His presence. And we know where He is, and sometimes discerning where He's not. And that's a discerning of the spirits too, that gift. But that ability also, some people have that gift to know what, this is of God, this is not of God. But you in your own walk can also discern the very presence of God. And when you know His presence is on something, you know it. It's like anything. I know the gift of teaching. Well, I feel like the Lord has given me a gift of teaching. And I would not have known that unless I actually stepped out and did something. And the Lord gave me opportunities. And the Lord will give you opportunities and pray for it. Pray for opportunities. That's another thing. Pray for opportunities. So I remember just going and working at a Christian camp in college. And the thing then was I did not want to get up in front of anybody, but I'd led devotions in my cabin, with 9 boys, just leading devotions. That was great for me. We'd have spiritual conversations and just talk. And then I led a Bible study in college. I had in our dormitory. 5 or 6 people, but just leading a Bible study. But that was such good for me. And it was just me just learning how to do inductive Bible study. Just plain and simple, just learning. And then going to seminary. And I remember my first hermeneutics class, giving a sermon in class. It was terrible. It was awful. It was bad as that sound. And I just remember feeling like, oh my goodness, why am I doing this? This is terrible. But then it was good because I had a friend of mine who was in class with me. And then we started doing some ministry in a church college ministry. And there was a time where we had a service and I preached that sermon. And he said, wow, what happened to you? Because that was night and day from you in class and you in this service was night and day. And I was like, well, I don't know. I think it was because that was an academic exercise and this was more of a spiritual exercise. And then when the spiritual will use your gift, it didn't show up in the academics. It just showed up when I actually felt like I was ministering to somebody. And sometimes you say, oh, because he helped me. He helped me say, no, you do have a gift. Because I don't know if I fully believed it back then. And so over years and time, there's a gifting, there's a growth in your gift. So you've got to use it. You've got to use it. Because it's like a muscle. It will grow with use. And you'll become sharper and more discerning in the use of your gift. You'll mature. You'll mature in your gift. So crucial, so important. We do need a place to grow in our gifting, and that's something I'm looking for even in this body. Because some of you have gifts, and some of you do activate your gifts here. Some of you may feel shy, I don't know. Some of you may feel like I have a gift, I'm not sure how to give it. And that's okay, you should talk. Talk with me, talk with leaders in the church. Because there is a way. It doesn't mean it has to happen on Sunday morning, right? It's not always the case. Not every gift is gonna show up on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but there's a place for that. And they do show up because we have seen healings. We've seen the list, the tongues, the interpretation of tongues, which, by the way, Derek Prince says that tongues, interpretation tongues, are really prophecy. It's really prophecy because there's a word for the church. And that's public tongues, not private tongues. Public tongues, which this is referring to in Corinthians passage, is for the edification of the body of Christ. So if somebody says, and we've seen it in the church, right? If you give a public announcement in tongues, you're giving a word from God, then the interpretation is necessary to make it understandable to the church, to edify the church. So we remember that because, in January 8th, the word was, get your expectations up, right? That morning was get your expectations up, right? And that's by the Spirit of God. And sometimes the Lord catches our attention. So it is as prophecy, prophetic word to the church. And of course, we've seen other examples of that too, where the Lord gives prophetic utterances of the church and speaks revelation and different things. But there's a place where we do want to move out and serve. And I really believe that even in coming time, we're going to look. And I think also sometimes on Wednesday night, we're going to give opportunity for more of the gifts too, because we need to exercise. I believe there's a place where we got to exercise. We need to do more exercise in the gifts. And I think that's something we're going to do coming up. And we'd love for you to be a part of that, okay? Because we do need to exercise our gifts and use them. And do it in a safe environment where sometimes, we're learning how, right? We're learning how. So finally, and I just want to go ahead and kind of close with this, is if you read Paul and you read chapter 12, you know what comes after chapter 12, it's chapter 13, right? I'm sure you figure that out. And then there's chapter 14. But it's all about the gifts. And he's talking about the gifts in chapter 12. But in 13, we know what that is. That's the love chapter. And the way he introduces that, in chapter 12, he introduces it. And he leads into the love chapter. And he says, all these things I've talked about, gifts. I've talked about all these gifts. I've mentioned all these things. But let me stop here and say, I will show you, literally, I will show you a more excellent way. I will show you a more excellent way. And that's what he starts talking about. He starts talking about love, right? The whole chapter is about love. And really, I believe that's what ties it all together. Because he goes and says, you know, you can be prophetic and have these amazing utterances. You could have all these amazing gifts. But if you don't have love, you're like a clanging gong. You're just making noise. Because it says, really, it's love that makes all these things work. So sometimes if we do, we pray about the gifts, and we pray, Lord, you know, how am I gifted, and all this kind of stuff. It goes back to, again, we must mature in the character of Christ, but we also say, Lord, mature my love. Mature my love, because it goes back to the character of Christ, but also goes back to being a servant. If I'm going to serve people, I need to love people, because it's hard to serve people I don't love. It really is. And at least, even if, whether I know the people or don't know the people, that there's something in my heart that has the love of God for them. So to really make this all this work, and I think Paul's pretty clear on that, so I say go back and read chapter 12 and chapter 13 and realize they belong together. They absolutely belong together. Because if we are going to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, we must walk in love. We must walk in a spirit of love. And so if anything, say, God, would you grow that in me? Would you grow love in me? Your love, your agape in me, so that I can serve with a true servant's heart and I can grow as you want me to grow. And of course, even in the fruit of the Spirit, right? What does it say? It says in Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. First one is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So what the Lord wants in us, and it makes our ministry effective, and whatever we do in the body of Christ, is that we would have the love of God. So I ask you to pray for the gifts, but would you pray for love? Growth of love in your heart for others.